Now today, friends, our study brings us to the 34th Psalm. And we're going to be moving along now a little more rapidly, because if we don't, we'll be all summer in the book of Psalms. And I can't think of a better place to be, but we are going through the Bible, you will recall. Now, this is a psalm that we have an explanation, and it's part of the inspired text at the beginning. It says, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Now, this is a fine place for me to illustrate something that the critic has used to discredit the Word of God, and it's led a great many uninstructed folks away from believing in the integrity and inerrancy of Scripture. Now, actually, this goes back to an incident that's recorded in the life of David. If you would go back, which we'll not do today, really to the 21st chapter of 1 Samuel and verses 10 through 15, you will recall that Saul was after this man David. And this young man was fleeing for his life. And he was going from one cave to another, hiding. And he was way down in that region of the wilderness, down toward the Dead Sea. And not many can survive in that area. In fact, a bishop from San Francisco didn't make it through that wilderness. I've driven through it. Now, I want to say to you, I wouldn't want to drive through there by myself. Now, David knew it, and he was able to survive in that wilderness. And he was able to hide from Saul. But David grew weary, and his faith got very weak and very thin. And he finally thought, well, I'm going to be destroyed. And he went out of the land into the land of the Philistines, which is way down in that area, but toward the west. And so he got over among the Philistines, and the king there of the Philistines at that time, he received David, and then there were those around him that said, look, David's not your friend. You must remember that back in that land, they've been saying that Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And remember, he killed our giant. And we want you to know that when he slew Goliath, he took down a lot of our defense that we had. And he's not our friend. You better get rid of him. David saw he was in real danger. So David acted like a madman. You know, acted like he was absolutely insane. And in that day, there was a superstition about insane people. You didn't destroy them. You had to turn them out, put them out. And that's the reason that you find that man among the tombs, you remember, that was possessed with demons. Freed as an insane man. And David acted like that, and that's the only way he got away with his life. Now, it was that time that God had delivered him, and then he came back in the land and hiding in the cave of Adullam, and I think lying there in the safety of that cave, David said, I should have trusted God. And this is a psalm that comes out of that. Now, if you go back and read the record, you will notice it says Achish was the king, and here it says Abimelech. Now, here's where the critic has come along, and I could quote you several of them that have made the statement that it is quite obvious that therefore this is not an inspired psalm and David this, that, and the other, and this is an error in the Bible. But you see, Abimelech was the title of every Philistine king, and Achish was the name of the king. It was just like you have down in Egypt. Every king in Egypt was a pharaoh, but that wasn't the name of each king. But everyone was called a pharaoh. And you have among the Amalekites, every ruler there was called an Agagite. An Agag, it's the royal family. But each one of them had a name. And so, may I say to you, the critic has taken advantage of things like that. And I had a young fellow, when I was teaching, bring this to me. He was greatly distressed. Said, I believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures, but here's an error. There's no error at all. It's lack of knowledge in our own minds and hearts. And when you think you find an error in the Bible, remember, the error is not in the Bible. The problem is with you. That's the trouble today. It's the problem with the critic. Now, David writes this psalm after that, and he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. When you're in trouble, when you get discouraged, and you're defeated. And that was David. Here he was running and running and running, and it just looked like that never come to an end. And he became discouraged. And he thought one of these days he'd be killed. But now he says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. And friends, I do pretty good at praising God on a good sunshiny day and things are going right. Very difficult when things are difficult, is it not? But listen to him. I'll bless the Lord at all times. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Now, listen to him. Oh, this is a great statement. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I have thought about taking this verse and putting it on the stationery of the Through the Bible. I want you to join with me in magnifying the Lord because we're going to find out in one of the Psalms that the Word of God and the name of God are just about the same. And both are important. And we want to get out the Word of God because it'll magnify the Lord. And I just like to say to you with the psalmist, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together in getting out the Word of God today. Now, David says, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, David, in the first three verses, it's just a praise. This is a hallelujah chorus. Now, he gives us the cause, the reason for his praise. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. How wonderful. And they looked unto me and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. Can you say that today? Oh, I thank God for the way he's led me. And I'm sure you can, friends. Now, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those who fear him and delivereth them. This is the first mention we've had of the angel of the Lord. And there'll be only one other time that the angel of the Lord will be mentioned. Now, without going into any detail today, because I spoke about this back in the book of Joshua, the angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ. You don't see the angel of the Lord after you come to the New Testament because he's become a man. And he's no longer an angel, he's a man. And when he appeared back in the Old Testament, I think it is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those who fear him and delivereth them. And the Lord Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And now here's his invitation. David says, if you don't believe this is true, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusteth in him. Oh, happy is the man. Say, there's nothing like trust in the Lord. And this is an invitation. Now, David had been out in that cave, and he's an outdoors man. He was rugged. He'd seen this sight. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. He'd even seen little lions. These little lion cubs, hungry, just whining for something to eat. Yet God took care of them. But now he says, but they who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now, I tell you, if a lion can take care of a little cub, God can take care of you and me. Isn't this wonderful? That's what David learned by experience. This is putting Christianity into shoe leather today. And we need it in shoe leather. I'm so tired of Christianity today that's just good for Sunday morning service and singing the doxology. And that just about ends it for a great many folk. I love what the man up in San Francisco, he's a broker that wrote to me. He said, and it's one of the nicest things that have been said to me. He says, you do not sound like you're speaking back of stained glass windows. Well, thank God for that. Now, there's nothing wrong about speaking back of stained glass windows. I did that for 40 years. But I hope that it didn't sound like it came from back of stained glass windows. I wanted to get down where it sounds like it came from the sidewalk, the marketplace, and from the schoolroom, and from the office, and the workshop. This thing's got to walk in shoe leather. It's no good. This man David says, I found out this is true, because I experienced it. Taste of the Lord. Now, we read verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. And I need to learn that. Maybe you need to learn that. But maybe we better move on. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Now, God says he hears and answers prayer. Don't tell me he doesn't, because he does. He knows how to say no. Now, verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. I don't have time to go into that today, but there's a lot of sentimental rot in plays where some old, I was going to call him something I ought not to call him, but some low-down sinner, and he has deserted a wife and a little baby, and then after living in sin, a murderer, a thief, and everything else, he comes home when the little girl or the little boy is sick, and he gets down by the bed, and he prays a prayer. And when he does, you can hear boo-hoos all over the audience, people boo-hooing. My friend, I do not know. That turns my tummy. You know why? God says, I don't hear the prayer of a man like this. You have no right, my unsaved friend, to go to God and ask him for anything except one thing. Lord, save me. And you don't even have to ask him for forgiveness. I think that little routine they give, forgive me. You don't have to ask him for, he's got forgiveness for you. All you have to do is trust Christ, and he'll automatically forgive you. What he's saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Well, this is wonderful, by the way. Now, I must lift out maybe one or two other statements. Verse 18, the Lord is near unto those who are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite heart. You're willing to take a place of humility, come as a sinner to him and trust him. Now, that old reprobate that turned and prayed about the little sick girl, if he'll accept Christ and acknowledge his sin and he'll receive Jesus Christ, God will hear him. But now, you're not free from trouble. I don't care who you are. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. This psalm is so wonderful, and it's so quoted and misquoted, as you can see.